Again, good morning to all of you. So this morning, we are going to be talking about the series of 1 Peter. And from the previous weeks, we heard about the preaching or sermon about us as Christian, how we should live our life in submissive to our authorities. Can it be labor, Greens, or national, or New Zealand First? We should, as Christians, be submissive to our authorities. And then secondly, as Christians, we are also being commanded to be submissive to our masters, to our employers. I believe that for some, most of us are employed, and yet for some people, they are the employers who are in governance for those people. And we also heard about last week about the husband and wives, that wives should be submissive to their husband. Do you agree? But there is a but there. Husbands must love their wives. I like that, Yin Fei. I like that. And so for this morning, as you could see on the pilgrimage about Peter, Peter is talking about us Christians, that as we live our lives in our community of believers, just like you and me, who worship Jesus in spirit and in truth, we should have some godly characters for us to become more effective in engaging our culture, in engaging our multi-generation, in engaging our community, and also in engaging to one another. And that's why I call this message, we are going to make this place our home. Why is that? Why is that? Why is that? Peter is in relationship with fellow believers. I believe that the church wouldn't advance if just like us are disorganized, who wouldn't agree with one another. We wouldn't be advancing God's kingdom if we will not be having an agreement. But on to our life today, we should have three general characteristics that we should possess in our life. And going back again to why I call this a place of our home, in your own place, how do you say that you have a home? Is it because that a home must have a very good bedroom? Because per se, they may say that for some people, I call my place a home because that's where I live in. For some people, I call my place a home because that's where I relax, rejuvenate my body, I eat, I rest. Or probably for some people, a house wouldn't be a home without a 75-inch flat TV. Or for some, a house is not a home without a good dining suite or a very good comfy couch or a very good comfy mattress. But isn't it a home is something like wherein you, when you open up your door, wow, again, this is the best moment of my day. Why is that? Because you knew the fact that somebody there inside your home, there's going to be a people, you know, rushing towards you and excited to say, hi, mom, hi, dad, welcome back. And then, come on, food is ready. Come on, let's dine together. It is a place wherein you can share your meal. It is a place wherein you can share your laughters. It is also a place wherein you can really, you know, sometimes wrestle to each other. Hey, I don't agree with you, Dad. Mom, I don't agree with you. But Mom will say, you have to follow me. And Dad will say that, yeah, follow your mom. She's the boss. Remember, if the wife is happy, your life will be happy. So, I should say that without people in this house who lives together, a house wouldn't be a home, isn't it? So just like here in Every Nation Auckland Central, I believe that this message is a very timely message for all of us. Why is that? Don't you know that we are now in transition going to a new place? Dakaraka place. And that is a very symbolic moment for us. And you know what? The devil doesn't want it. He's trying to destroy our family. He's trying to cause division among us. He's trying to cause chaos, misunderstanding. He's also gonna try to penetrate your minds that, hey, look at him, look at her. You know, their lives are blessed, but you're not blessed. You're not part of the home. No. And some people may also say that, I've been offended. But let's listen to Peter and try to understand what will be the benefits that he's trying to impart it to us. So I call it, Peter is trying to give us three important gems. What are those gems? Kuya Gani, or what are those gems, Gani? This is only an abbreviation so I can further move on. The first one is our general attitudes. I highlighted those words. And you know what? By our general attitudes, the people outside in our community are looking at us as Christians. It is through our general attitudes that we may only be able to attract them and say that, oh wow, how I'm amazed how these Christians lead their lives. Why is that? Because they're weird. They're funny. Imagine, I throw back a curse on them, and yet they bless me. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? For some people, they have been persecuted, but what do? We don't retaliate, but rather we bless them. We pray for them. And we also pray to God that God will heal our heart. So from the very point, number one is, let us all have this like-minded. Like-minded means that, it doesn't mean that when I say this, you need to agree on what I'm going to say. No, as if you're not thinking. No, you do have, you know, your own thinking. It doesn't mean that in this church we need to select the songs, we need to wear the proper clothing. We will have some disagreements. But in this church, we do have one mind, that Jesus is Lord. That we only have one God, the Father. That He has provided the Holy Spirit. That we exist to glorify God and advance His kingdom. And we make very intentionally that each and every believer should what? Make disciples as followers of Jesus. Isn't that we all agree on that? As followers and disciples of Jesus, we have that one aim, one goal in our mind, that we are only going to be doing this not for our own advantage, only for the sake of the name of Jesus. And then secondly is, we should have this sympathy. Sympathy, wherein what you feel, I feel. Sympathy that when you have your joy, it's also my joy. When I was a new Christian, I remember back then that I met this Christian. He was boasting about his salary, and I don't have a job back then. So he's saying that his salary is about, wow, per month is about 6 digits. That's converting back into our Philippine currency, 6 digits. And I say, oh, wow. You must be the favorite, you know, of God. But how about me? I'm not getting anything. It's just like, also, I remember that this person had a new house, and then he's saying, hey, you know what, bro? I have a new house, but I myself cannot celebrate. And I only realized that I'm falling into this temptation. I am coveting. I have this jealousy. I'm not trying to capture the heart of God. But true sympathy is when you hear somebody is celebrating, you also celebrate with them. And you can say that, hey, you know, bro, I'm happy for you. Let us celebrate. When somebody says that, you know what, I lost my job, you have a sympathy with them. I have no food. You are deeply within them that you're willing to hear and spend time with them. Most of the time, you don't need to say anything, but only just to be present and listen to them. And afterwards, bro, what else can we do? But pray. Let's pray. That is only what our hope for. Thirdly, Peter is saying us that we should love one another. If you will only try to recognize these things, it's all about emotions. How can you, as a Christian, say that I should have good emotions? I should have quality attitudes. How can you? For some, it might be hard because you might say, hey, you know what? That's not me. Even back then, before, that is really not me. I could be arrogant, I could be rude, but God changed me. In what way? Through discipleship. Again, a home is where you spend time with your family. I wouldn't grow, I should say, a growing, mature Christian if I haven't allowed myself to be discipled. I wouldn't say that this is my home if I wouldn't really nurture that relationship for some of you and for most of you. So, loving one another is a big command of Jesus. Just like when he say in the book of John, this command, new command I say to you, that you love one another so they may see that what? You are my disciples. That's what the community is looking at us, Christians. They're trying to say that, hey, come on, let's look at these Christians. Do they really love one another? Or do they hate each other? The outside world are looking at us and trying to prove that your belief, my belief, is wrong. That's why these key elements of our behavior are so essential in this present world. Loving one another is a command from Jesus. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus didn't say that. Love first yourself and then love your neighbor. No. Love your neighbor as yourself, isn't it? And then fourthly, Peter is saying, be sympathetic, have sympathy. Sympathy is one of the deepest emotions of a human being. The very deepest emotion. If I'm gonna be saying to one of you, come on up in here in stage and speak to the congregation. For some, they may not be able to do so. Why? Because deep within them, there are butterflies in their stomach. Oh boy, there's big people here. I can't speak. I'm so nervous. So compassion is something like a deeper emotion wherein you are able to act with, because why? You can feel their pain. You can feel their sorrow. And this what led Jesus to see the crowd having compassion with them, feed them, and heal them. Just like what is happening here in our church. When we hear that our brother is sick, what do we do? Come on, bro. Come on. Let's pray for you. Let's pray for them. When you hear that somebody is suffering from depression, hey, you know what? We need to encourage this bro. We need to encourage this sister. Why? Because they're battling this. They're battling this kind of attacks. A compassion compelled to act and do something. To do something. Not for you, but for that person. And then fifth, Peter is saying, be humble. We need to be humble. This is not a church we're in. We come here, we bring our trophies. We show off our fabulous cars. We show off our fabulous clothes. We show off our talents. We show off everything. No, we brag everything. No. This is a church wherein we are humble because we are totally, totally dependent on Jesus. Totally, totally. Apart from Jesus, I'm nothing. With all the talents I have, I'm only doing it to glorify God. With all the blessings that I have, God is giving me an opportunity to bless somebody. Now, these five emotions, I'm telling you, for a person who doesn't have, who's not hearing the voice of God, who's not receptive to the presence of the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen? You are grieving the Holy Spirit, and that will also affect your relationship personally to the person sitting beside you, to your loved one. And when you go home, it feels like this place is too heavy. Why is that? Because you did not allow yourself to be moved by the Holy Spirit. It's because you are still leading your life, but you're not following Jesus as Lord and Savior. So brothers and sisters, let's look outside of this community of believers. If we really would like to advance God's kingdom, I challenge you. Let us hear the voice of Peter. Let us hear the voice of God. Because for some new members here who are sitting right now, they are observing. They're kind of sensing, why do these people gather here? Wherein, imagine, they gather here, but they are so close to one another. They don't have an image, but they worship Jesus. as their Lord and Savior. And yet they worship Him in spirit and in truth. And boy and boy, oh boy, I could really feel that how these Christians relate to one another. You know what? Wow. They love each other in spite of their imperfection. They still love one another. And this will be the very moment that these guests, these visitors will be attracted. It's because they could see the life of Jesus in you. Isn't that amazing and powerful? It's a very, very great testimony. Now, this is only one part of the first gen. The second gen is, how do we respond? By our gentle response. For the Bible says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. That's how we do it as Christians. A human being, when you've been attacked, what's your instant reaction? You retaliate. If that person say, you know what? You're ugly. And then you're going to tell to that person, you know what? Nobody wants to look at you because you are that scary. That's how worst, you know, a person should be. You will retaliate not only the even, you know, the same. If he retaliates one, you will retaliate two. But the Bible says we shouldn't. But instead, we bless them. We bless them. And one good thing about this is we could expect what Jesus said, great rewards. As he has said in the book of Luke chapter 6, verse 35, that is not in the PowerPoint. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Look at this. Very powerful. Jesus said, then your reward will be great. Then your reward will be great. I have been a Christian for, I should say, 12 years. I got saved 2005. I've been to so many churches back then. I observed them. I should say that there were moments that I kind of been attracted to this church. It's because they do have a very good, amazing facility, huge facility. They have all the high technology, I should say, equipments, and they have talented worship leaders. But I'm telling you, we are growing. We are seeing good, talented worship singers here, isn't it? We have some dancers. We have some, come on, dancers. We have some singers. I could sing. Hey, and not only that. The most important thing is we have fun-loving Christians here. But don't be surprised. Just what I said, we are living into a community wherein we do have some bad habits. And these bad habits may sometimes exist. And you'll get offended. you'll get offended. No matter what church you go with, I'm telling you, it's a guarantee. You'll be offended. I have been offended. But you know what? God is telling me that when you have been offended, isn't it that I first forgave you your sins? Jesus said, I died for you because of your imperfection. You have offended so many people. Firstly, your wife, then your children, then your mates, then your parents. You have offended so many people, and yet I forgave you. How is it that you cannot forgive your brother or your sisters? The key thing is humility. Lord, I'm nothing. And this is one action. Bless them. How do we do that? We pray for them. As you start to pray for those people who have offended you, you will recognize that God is creating a new heart of you that is pure, that is solid, untouchable, unshakable. No matter what, if you will no longer hold the grudge, and you can say to this person, if they ask me to go with you 1 mile, I'm willing to go with you 2 miles. How about that? These are radical Christians. And this is what Peter is trying to say. We need radical Christians who can really go 2 miles rather than 1 mile if somebody asks them. Radical Christians. You need to be radical. You need to be intentionally in blessing others. Because I'm telling you, it may not only happen once. Boy, that's gonna be hard. I don't think I can stay in the church. You're trying to say that I'm gonna be offended? How many? Once? Yes. Not only once, sometimes it could be twice. No, I don't want to lead. I don't want to serve anymore. Why is that? Because it's hard to please them. No, you're not trying to please them. You're trying to bless them. But you're only trying to please God. And no matter what, even though they have offended you 7 times, Jesus is saying, how many times should you forgive your brother? Not 7 times, but 70. 7 times. 77 times. I'm going to be asking you, you have your home, you have your house, within your family, how many times have you been offended? How many times have you been misunderstood? How many times? It could be more than 77 times, and yet you still stay with them, dine with them, meet up with them, sleep with them, pray with them. That is what family is. A family wherein you can say, you know what? You have offended me. I'm going to talk to you. Straight up to the issue. You have some issues. Come on, let's walk. And then roll up. Come on. bro. Okay, here's what I'm going to tell to you. When somebody have offended you, pray to that person. Seek reconciliation and ask for forgiveness. In doing so, what is happening? The devil is trying to cause division within your family, within this church, is being defeated. That's why the song that we sang a while ago, the enemy has been defeated, because he's trying to create division in the church. He's trying to create chaos. He's trying to create hatred. But the moment that you submit to the Holy Spirit, God is glorified, and his promise is you will be blessed. And that's how through that your rewards will be great in heaven because you're able to forgive others. So that's how we do it. That's how we do it as Christians. And then thirdly, the last gen is our genuine motivation. Our genuine motivation. I highlighted those things, those important phrases. Greatest motivation. What is our motivation? Who would you would love life? Who would you would love life? Who would you would live, would like to live life happy and joyfully, peacefully? And who would you want to be really close with God? That when you pray, you're confident that, yes, Lord, I knew the fact that your ears are attentive to me. And who would you be really pursuing that, Lord, your eyes are upon me? It's not that God is always watching you that, oh, come on, watching you that you're going to make a mistake and then I'm going to spank you. Hardly, no. God is watching you just like in the palm of his hand, taking care of you, and he's holding you, not leaving you nor forsaking you. This is the greatest motivation that we have, that we have a true fellowship, firstly, with God, our Father, and only through Jesus that we do have that fellowship with him. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul, and therefore you can love other people as yourself. A motivation that keeps us moving towards a life that is peaceful, a life that is joyful, a life that have meaning and purpose, but not a life that, Lord, where are you? You're so far. You can't hear me. It's because of our sins. So imagine, by doing evil things, by not following him, God have turned back his face against us. Imagine that. Would you can afford to live a life without God? For those of you, our life is not permanent here. The very moment that we close our eyes when about to die is have that moment just like Stephen. Do you know the Apostle Stephen? Before he died, he was bitten, he was stoned, and yet he had full of peace. And yet his spirit is rejoicing because he knew the fact he's seeing Jesus already there at the gates of heaven, welcoming him. So peaceful, the eyes of God is looking onto him. Isn't that our motivation? That us, as we live our life, we can demonstrate love, have good attitudes towards, firstly, our community, our fellow believers, so we can be effective in advancing God's kingdom. And then secondly, we can have that gentle response in how we live our life, even though we are being attacked. And thirdly, the genuine motivation is, it's all because of God's glory. So with this, I'm about to ask you again. How long have you been here in this church, in every nation? Have you found that this place will be your home for the next 1, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? Or would you like to live a life of legacy that, just like what I'm trying to pursue, it's not only for me, it's not only for my wife, but it's also because of my kids, just like Ian and Ivan. Oh boy, when we came in here, they were only small boys. But now look at them. They're taller than me. They're bigger than me. They're stronger than me. And they are more smarter than me. This is what it's all about. We make disciples to glorify God and advance His kingdom. We exist to have this relationship with Jesus and be effective in really engaging our community, so we could say that, yes, here in every nation, Auckland Central, I am living alongside with my brothers, with my sisters, that I could have great relationship, like I could have a fellowship with them through dining, through food, through fellowship, that I can have a time with them to listen to their concerns, to their issues, their problems. And I'm allowing myself to be used by God so that at due moment, they may be baby Christians back then, but soon enough, God expects us to grow. God doesn't want toddlers in this church. Do you know toddlers? Toddlers are all about, it's all about me, my fun, my food. If a toddler sees that, hey, you have a toy, that's mine. Hey, you have a good food. Ah, like, ah, toddlers, they are selfish. We as Christians may have into that moment wherein we may be selfish, but there will come a point that as God is blessing us, it's about time for you to give, to be used by God, to be a vessel, and start creating this place your home, the home of the community, the home of the lost, the home of my family, the home of my future generation, the home of my children's children. And I hope for all of you, you have already found your place as your home. Now with this, I would like to close this and give an opportunity for those people. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I believe that God put you here for a great reason. I believe that He called you by your name, and you are significant. You are important. He would like to reveal His character unto you. But if you are that person who keeps running away from God, if you are that person who keeps from finding a place because you can't find the right people, but God is calling you. In this place, God exists. The Spirit is present. And He's inviting you right now, son, daughter, come with me. I'm calling you so many times. miss you. I love you. And I would love to throw my hands up unto you. I would like to put a new ring unto you. I would like to put a new robe unto you. Come back home. Come back to me. And make this place your home. So if you are a person who have already heard the gospel, but yet you are not responding, if you are that person who keeps on, nope, that is not for me, but Jesus is speaking to you right now, you may now have some butterflies in your stomach that's nudging you. You have to respond right now. This is the perfect timing. You need to be at home, son. You need to be at home, daughter. So if you haven't really accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to give an opportunity right now. Lead you to a prayer. Yes, that is me. I would love to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I would like to come back home wherein the Father has prepared the table before me. That is me. That is me. If that is you, say this prayer humbly. Father God, I thank you so much that you called me. I thank you that you love me so much. I thank you that you sent your only Son, Jesus, who died for me to cleanse me from my sins, to give me a new start. And I thank you, Father, that you're calling me to go back to you, to be at home with you. I believe that he died on the cross and raised on the third day, and he was risen. And from this day forward, I commit myself unto him. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of all my transgressions. And give me now a new life, a new start, a new hope in fellowship with you. I thank you so much, Father, that you're bringing me back home to you, that you, Jesus, is my Lord and Savior. If you are that person who prayed that prayer, you may raise your hand and say, I pray that prayer. That is me. Yes, God bless you. God loves you. He's wanting you to be home, son. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Yes. Yes, thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. God bless you. Now you may now open up your eyes. And look for me. Isn't that great when you feel home, that you can dine with your family, that you can share laughter with them, that you can be comfortable, that in spite of my imperfection, your imperfection, hey, we can work things out and look forward to and enjoy this new place of our home. God bless you all. And I would like to call that young man to see after me. And I will really love to speak to you further. God bless you all.